You are Locked On Sooners, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma Sooners. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey there, Sooners Nation, and welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Locked On Sooners podcast. Thank you for joining me. My name is John Williams. You can follow me on Twitter at John9Williams, and you can read my work covering the Oklahoma Sooners at thesoonerswire.usatoday.com. And on today's show, we've got a little bit of narrative busting that we need to do. I keep seeing certain narratives thrown out about the Oklahoma Sooners, their coaching staff, and it's just time to start breaking that down and get rid of some of these narratives. Lincoln Riley was ranked on the Sporting News list of top 25 coaches. We'll talk about that as well. But first, I got to talk to you about the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. Make sure you are getting ready for the 2021 college football season and the 2022 NFL Draft by listening to the Locked On NFL Draft with Trevor Sikkema and Benjamin Solak as they give you analysis of the look ahead to next year's future first-round picks. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And so yesterday on Twitter, I'm just kind of scrolling through on the Locked On Sooners podcast Twitter page, which you can follow over there. And, you know, somebody responds to, you know, a tweet and basically calls out Lincoln Riley for not having to coach up any quarterbacks. And I just get tired of seeing that, man. I really do. It's one of those situations where, yes, Lincoln Riley benefited from the transfer portal with his three quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, and Jalen Hurts. However, if we go back and we look at what those players were in their previous stops, Baker Mayfield at Texas Tech, Kyler Murray at Texas A&M, and Jalen Hurts at Alabama, there's not a comparison to be made given their abilities. What they showed at the school they were at before they transferred to Oklahoma is not near the player they were at Oklahoma or when they left Oklahoma. Just consider the amount of respect these players were getting as NFL draft prospects prior to their arrival at Oklahoma, right? So let's take Jalen Hurts as the most recent example. So at Alabama, he was a productive quarterback. He was a good quarterback. He helped Alabama get to national championship games as the starter and as the backup, and he was very successful. But if you look at him as a passer, he just wasn't very good. He wasn't accurate. He wasn't consistent. He struggled as a passer. That's very true. He gets to Oklahoma, and all of a sudden, he's a Heisman contender. He's seen as a really good passer. I mean, a good enough passer, right? I mean, still, his game is using his legs, using his power, and keeping teams off balance with his ability to run a read option, run a quarterback power, quarterback draw. But he really showed significant improvement as a passer. He was super efficient. He was able to hit deep balls unlike he was able to at Alabama. And they had great skill players at Alabama, but yet they couldn't seem to unlock his passing ability there. Not until he came to Oklahoma was he actually seen as an adequate passer. And that led to him being taken in the second round of the NFL draft by the Philadelphia Eagles. They thought enough of him after his time at Oklahoma that they spent a top 50 pick on him. When he was at Alabama, I don't think anybody saw him as even a draftable quarterback. I mean, he was a guy that, yeah, you might be able to use as a backup because of his running ability, but I don't think anybody thought he was going to be worth a top 50 pick in the NFL draft. I mean, those are just the facts. Now, it's possible, had he stayed at Alabama, he might have been able to, you know, improve his passing ability, but he wasn't going to get on the field with Tua taking over. And there's a reason that Tua took over. He was just a better passer than Jalen Hurts. But he comes to Oklahoma, and Lincoln Riley turns him into a good passer. If that's not coaching up a player, I don't know what is. And I know I'm preaching to the choir a little bit here, but it just gets tired to hear people disrespect Lincoln Riley's coaching ability. Let's go to Kyler Murray. At Texas A&M, Kyler Murray got a few starts, but then he got benched after getting hurt and getting back to being well. He didn't get his job back, and that's what led to him transferring. And yes, he was a good passer at Allen High School, but for some reason, he wasn't able to show that at Texas A&M. And you can talk about the talent disparity, the talent deficiency, but we've seen Texas A&M put good football teams on the field, put good football players at certain positions. And we even saw Kyler Murray's elusiveness with Oklahoma. So why was it that it was a struggle for Kyler Murray at Texas A&M, but everything looked to be super easy at Oklahoma? Is that a coincidence? Is there a coaching difference? I think so. And then let's talk about Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield also got hurt as a true freshman at Texas Tech. Got hurt. Davis Webb came in and took over, and Baker Mayfield was unable to get his starting job back. And some of that, Davis Webb was a solid quarterback for Texas Tech and for Cliff Kingsbury. But there's something to that, right? Why wasn't he able to get his job back? And maybe it's because he just wasn't complete enough as a passer yet, as a quarterback, that Cliff Kingsbury was like, well, we need to, look to our future. Who's going to be the guy that's going to be our starter next year? And Baker saw the writing on the wall. He didn't think he was going to be able to compete for the starting quarterback job. And so he left. And he came to Norman as a solid quarterback, but was he a legit Heisman contender that first year? Like, were people viewing him as a player who was going to have this huge breakout and ultimately be the number one overall pick in the NFL draft? I think people were high on Baker Mayfield, especially coming out of the Blake Bell, Trevor Knight era at quarterback. I think people were excited for what Baker Mayfield might be able to bring to the table, but it was still largely an unknown. We knew we were going to get a better passing. And I think even a lot of people still thought Trevor Knight could contend for the starting quarterback job after what he did in the bowl game, the Sugar Bowl against Alabama. And so it wasn't a given that Baker Mayfield showing up on campus was going to get the starting quarterback job right away. He had to earn it just like everybody else did. And he had to prove that he was going to be a capable quarterback for Oklahoma. And obviously he did. And he's one of the best quarterbacks Oklahoma's ever had. But I think a lot of that has to do with Lincoln Riley's coaching ability. I don't think he's underrated nationally by college football writers, college football analysts. I think they see him as what he is, but I think people underrate his ability to coach quarterbacks, so to speak. And I'm doing air quotes. You can't see that. I'm doing air quotes. Like, I think people still think that because he got transfer quarterbacks that maybe he's unproven as a coach. And that's just bull to me. You can't take a transfer quarterback and turn them into a Heisman winner or contender just because they played quarterback for a little bit somewhere else. That's not automatic. Lincoln Riley had to find out what these guys do well, coach up their deficiencies, and then accentuate their strengths in his offense. Like, he's not just out there going willy-nilly and running the same offense for Jalen Hurts as he ran for Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray or vice versa. That's coaching. If that's not coaching, I don't know what it is. And at the same time, each of these guys talks about how Lincoln Riley helped them understand the game and how Lincoln Riley helped them process the game and understand scheme and understand defenses. That's coaching. And they all had to improve as a passer. They all did. You don't show up in college football as a fully ready, a complete picture, a complete book at quarterback. You've got technique development that you have to work through as well. Even if you're a great high school quarterback like Kyler Murray was, you still have, you know, mechanics and technique to work on to improve your game and take it to another level. That's coaching, folks. So that narrative needs to die. It just needs to go off to the pasture, find a quiet spot in the woods, and just lay down and die, because it's an old narrative. And it, even before Spencer Rattler came, it was a tired, terrible, lazy narrative. And coming up next here on the Locked On Sooners podcast, we're going to break down another narrative that just needs to go the way of the pasture. And then we'll talk about Lincoln Riley's ranking and standing among NCAA's top coaches. But first, I got to talk to you about Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and the easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball is in full swing, and you can track all of the action at Bet Online. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all of your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, the NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head on over to the website or use your mobile device to check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore, as this is your chance to get into the game as teams are making their runs deep into the playoffs. Head on over to betonline.ag and use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit by using our promo code LOCKEDON. That's betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. And now here on the Locked On Sooners podcast, we're going to talk about another narrative that needs to die. And that is the Oklahoma Sooners' ability to play defense. Yes, the Mike Stoops era at defense was terrible. It was bad, historically bad, but that's not for a lack of talent. Kenneth Murray, Neville Gallimore playing in the league. Maybe the scheme was bad. I mean, we got Trey Norwood, Trey Brown on teams. The talent level seems to have been there, at least to a certain extent. But the scheme just didn't seem to be up to date with what's happening in modern college football. And Alex Grinch coming in, transitioning Oklahoma to be able to play against more spread, playing more of a 4-2-5 or, you know, a 3-2-6 formation that allows them to put more defensive backs in coverage and defend the high octane passing games that you see in the Big 12 and the wide zone running schemes that you see a lot of times as well. Obviously, Alex Grinch has helped improve the overall talent on the defensive side of the football, but I think his ability to adjust Oklahoma's scheme coming in just a few years back and put these players in the best position to perform and to succeed has made a huge difference. I mean, each year we've seen the Oklahoma defense improve in points per game, yards allowed, just their national standing and the national rankings and those things under Alex Grinch. And I think we can finally put to bed this narrative that Oklahoma doesn't play defense. Oklahoma plays defense. Now we're going to, for the purpose of this, we're going to ignore a little bit the defensive performance against LSU. Because that was one of those situations where LSU was just a buzzsaw, right? They were just mollywhopping everybody on offense. They were just incredible. And the Oklahoma defense going into that game had played fairly well. They were better, right? They weren't as good as the 2020 defense. They weren't as bad as the 2018 defense. But this 2019 defense was showing signs of improvement, showing signs of life, but just ran into arguably the greatest offense to ever play college football, led by Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator, and Joe Burrow at quarterback, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Thaddeus Moss. I mean, loads and loads of NFL talent on the offensive side of the football. And I mean, you look at T. Higgins, Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, those are two guys. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase was just taken to the top 10 in the NFL draft, even after sitting out a year because of what he did with Joe Burrow in 2019. T. Higgins was a top, I think he was top 40 pick by the Cincinnati Bengals just the year before. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the Kansas City Chiefs took him at pick number 32 in the 2020 NFL draft. Joe Burrow was the number one overall pick in the 2020 NFL draft. I mean, loaded offensively. Like, this team similar to maybe that Marquise Brown and CeeDee Lamb and Mark Andrews all at the same time. That LSU offense was fantastic. And it was going to be hard for anybody to stop them, especially with a month to prepare. Like, they had a month to prepare for the Oklahoma defense, and they just knew where to attack, and they just beat them. You know, that was just one of those situations. They got beat bad. And then in 2020, we saw an even better Oklahoma defense, right? It got to the point about mid-season, you know, after the, you know, first four or five games or so, and, you know, struggling against Iowa State and Kansas State, they really found their stride in the middle of the season. And then the rest of the way, the Oklahoma defense is one of the better defenses in the country in the second half of the season. And they really, really rebounded and played a great game against Iowa State in the conference championship game. And then against Florida, we're not going to let Florida make any excuses. They still had to show up. And against Florida, they didn't allow Florida to do anything. The Oklahoma defense, they showed up. Florida didn't. And Oklahoma did what you do to teams that don't show up. They dominated them. And yes, we lost Ronnie Perkins. And that's a huge loss. I'm not going to minimize that loss. But this Oklahoma defense looks like it's better positioned to contend for a national title than it's been in years. And that this year, I think teams, the national perspective on Oklahoma is going to shift. I mean, I think for a lot of people, it shifted last year. A lot of people started to believe and started to think Oklahoma can play defense. But this year, it's really, really going to shift. People are going to see Oklahoma and like, all right, Oklahoma's defense is back. Like, they were back last year. Now they're back. Especially because aside from, you know, Iowa State and Kansas State, I don't know if there's going to be an offense that's able to really keep up with Oklahoma. I mean, Texas might be able to. I think a lot of people are making an assumption that Texas is going to be one of the elite offenses in the country. Again, huge assumptions. And it might be the case, because, you know, they got a new offensive coordinator. They're going to have a new quarterback. But I'm just not sure. I'm not ready to say that until I see them on the field. And it's still going to be different because Oklahoma's defense is going to be better than what it's been in the past. And so it's going to be really exciting, man. I'm ready for people to be able to put that narrative to bed, because Oklahoma has a history of being a great defensive school, and they just haven't been able to show it in the last decade. But I think this is the year that Oklahoma, for many, many people, puts that narrative to bed, where people just think Oklahoma doesn't play defense, because we know that that's not true. Oklahoma plays defense, and it's starting to show, and it got much, much better last year. And I think for many, many people, the Oklahoma defense is back. Now, this year, it's going to be for everybody. Oklahoma defense is back. And coming up next, we've got to talk about Lincoln Riley's standing in the Sporting News' college football coaching rankings and where he stands on that. But first, I got to talk to you about rockauto.com. Rockauto.com is a family-owned business serving auto parts customers for the last 20 years. They are the perfect place for the do-it-yourselfer, because this is the place where you can get the cheapest auto parts. Are you looking for a Honda Odyssey fuel pump? Well, from a chain store, you can get it for $353. At rockauto.com, just $216. Rock Auto prices are always reliably low for every customer. It's not the dealer pricing that you're going to get. You're going to get better pricing than your storefront auto parts store. And they have everything that you could ever need, from brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. They got an easy to explore website that you can use to search for all of your auto parts needs. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On in there, how did you hear about us box, so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. And I also got to talk to you about Built Bar. You know Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. That's what we've told you for months and months now. It's the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. You've heard that one too. But the great thing about Built Bar is they've got great flavors. They don't have that protein bar texture or aftertaste that you get in a lot of protein bars. It's 100% covered in chocolate. And it like I've said, it tastes like a candy bar. I mean, if you didn't know it was a protein bar, you'd think it was dessert, because they're that good. They come in coconut, coconut almond, cherry, raspberry, mint brownie, peanut butter brownie, double chocolate, and salted caramel flavors. And they've got limited time flavors all of the time. My favorites and what I've got on top of my fridge right now are the mint brownie, the peanut butter brownie, and that coconut almond. And each one of them just hits right every single time. So go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com. That's builtbar.com, promo code LOCKED15. And now we got to talk about where Lincoln Riley stands on the sporting news, his most recent college football rankings that came out yesterday. And first of all, we got to talk, I mean, obviously it's going to be Nick Saban at number one. He's the best coach in college football. What else can you say about it? I mean, since the playoffs started, according to Sporting News, Alabama is 91-8. Since 2009, they've won 6 national championships, both under the college football playoff and the BCS eras. Dabo Swinney comes in at number 2 at Clemson. He's 140-33. He's got 2 national championships during the college football playoff era. And then coming in at number 3, your Lincoln Riley. And here's what Bill Bender of the Sporting News had to say about it. He said, like Ryan Day, Riley faced impossible expectations when he took over for Bob Stoops. The Sooners have won 4 straight Big 12 championships, and Riley brings back an offense that has the program looking to break through after 4 college football playoff semifinal losses. You can put Day here, but Riley has been at it a little bit longer. And I think he's accurately rated here on this rankings. I think he is one of the best coaches in college football. The only thing that has eluded him is that national title and that college football playoff win. I think it's an old, you know, we've been killing narratives today. I think it's a tired narrative that Lincoln Riley can't win in the college football playoff. Obviously, it takes some circumstances falling in their favor. Again, not getting matched up with LSU in the first round, not being the 4 seed and having to play in Alabama in your opening round game. Now, you have to play the teams that are in front of you and you got to beat them, but certainly matchups and styles make fights a little bit. And the Oklahoma defense just was never going to be able to compete with, you know, with LSU and Alabama at the height of their offensive prowess. But I think, again, like we talked about with the defense, you know, they've been busting that narrative of they can't play defense. Well, I think this is the year that Lincoln Riley breaks that narrative that he can't win in the college football playoff, because he's a great coach. He's a fantastic coach. That's why NFL teams are always coming, calling and wanting Lincoln Riley to come coach their football team. It's because he's a great coach. You've seen it. You've seen what he's been able to do, turning over the quarterback position year in and year out, continually putting great offenses on the field. His recruiting ability is fantastic. And I mean, I would say his recruiting ability is second only maybe to Nick Saban. Now, they don't finish second in, you know, these power rankings done by recruiting sites, but just his ability to connect with players, to use social media as an avenue to draw players in, and the facilities that Oklahoma has to offer. I mean, to get players to want to come to Norman, Oklahoma. I love you, Norman, but you're not like Miami or, you know, LSU in New Orleans. It, of course, you know, Nick Saban's having to recruit to Tuscaloosa, which is probably not all that great either. But I mean, you're not USC where you're just within, you know, 30 minutes of the beach. And so you have to be an excellent recruiter to get players to come to Norman. And he just is. And I think this is going to be the year where Oklahoma and Lincoln Riley put to bed, like I said, put to bed those narratives that they can't win in the college football playoff. And hopefully it's one of those, this is the year that they win that 8th national championship and puts to bed the idea that Oklahoma can't play defense and can't win a national championship because they're from the Big 12. It's going to be a great year because the Oklahoma Sooners are going to put some things to bed that people have been saying about him for a long time, and it's going to be fantastic. And I really hope we get some petty Lincoln Riley when the Oklahoma Sooners knock off an SEC team in the college football playoff or in the national championship game, because I think he's got some stored up petty that he's just waiting to unleash on the SEC, or the ACC, or the national analysts that constantly want to downgrade and deride the Big 12, because it's a better conference than people want to give it credit for. Sure, we have a bottom dweller in Kansas that should probably be an FCS school, but otherwise it's the middle of the pack to the top of the pack is pretty solid. And it's good. And I think this is going to be the year that Oklahoma and the Big 12 shows out and shows up. And that's going to do it for today's episode of the Locked On Sooners podcast. Again, thank you so much for subscribing to the show. Wherever you get your podcasts, we're available on Apple, Google, Spotify, and the Odyssey app. Make sure you're following the show on Twitter at Locked On Sooners. You can follow me on Twitter as well at John 9 Williams. And until tomorrow, Boomer Sooner.